Would you agree this evening that you and I are the temples of God? That's a relief. Right. God is living in us. Okay, let me just show us just one or two things. I'm going to put it down here so that it won't get in the way of communion. Stay. Don't move. Right. Temples of the living God. This is just a reminder for us. Years ago, this kind of represents the throne of our life. Have you done this before? This is just a reminder. Here's Jesus. There's us. That's how life was years ago for us. Jesus was on the outside, and here's you and I reigning on the throne of our life. And then a few things have changed. Because when we receive Christ, Christ now lives in us. But there are times that when we're still ruling, it is still on us on the throne of our life, even though we've got Jesus in our life. Agree? For this, now that's different. This is Jesus ruling and reigning on the throne of our life. Please do not move. Not you, I'm talking about that. In fact, what I'm going to do, is anybody really, really Morrig, you look quick. So if you sense it going, can you come and dive? If you can remember, because you lot can still see it, is that all right? But this is really, really important about us. This is just a reminder, really, of being the temple of God. You and I will meet lovely people every day of our life. Your neighbours, your work colleagues, people all over, generous, forgiving and loving. But tonight I'm going to be talking a little bit about John chapter 7 and Ezekiel 47, about God in us as rivers. Rivers really flowing through us, and what that difference would be. So I want you to turn, please, to your Bible, to Ezekiel chapter 43, just to start with. Ezekiel chapter 43. We're just going to share with you just a few thoughts regarding Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the man, but at the same time of Josiah. If you haven't got a Bible, someone will bring you one. If you just put your hand up, Myra's just going to come round with a Bible. You would definitely need a Bible tonight as we look at the power of God and his word. So Ezekiel, at the same time of Josiah, the same period as Jeremiah. At the age of 25, Ezekiel was taken captive when Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians. Ezekiel was a speaker, really, in a concentration camp, a little bit like John on the island of Patmos. Both people saw the heavens opened, a vision of a man on a throne, but Ezekiel saw the glory of God, and that is really important. Ezekiel is a strange character. Most of the things that he did, even though he spoke, were kind of symbolic, like laying on his side for weeks on end and then turning over and laying on the other side. So if you don't believe in drama, just look at the book of Ezekiel, because it's kind of full of drama. But he saw God's glory, then he saw God's glory depart, and then he saw God's glory return. 120 times in this book it says, the Lord said. 49 times it says, the word of the Lord came to me. And then 25 times it mentions the word spirit. Now the interesting thing is that Jeremiah was the prophet who spoke about the Father, God the Father. Isaiah was the one really who spoke about God the Son. But Ezekiel spoke about God the Spirit. I love how the Old Testament really highlights God. So Ezekiel 47, we're going to be looking at that in a moment. We're going to take you on a tour, not a tour, but as Ruth calls it, as I call it, it's a tour. Sorry, it's a Yorkshire word just for the word tour. We're going to be looking at Ezekiel 47. But Ezekiel was lifted up, and he was lifted up high, and he saw the glory of God fill the temple. And you'll find that. I want to read Ezekiel, first of all, chapter 43. We're going to read a few verses here together. So if you look in your Bible, this is really important just to start this evening. Verse 1, it says, "And then he led me to the gate facing toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was coming from the way of the east, and his voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. And it was like the appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw when he came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate facing towards the east. And the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple." Just remember that more than anything else. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. Keep in mind that you and I now in the New Testament are the temples of the living God. Verse 6 says, "Then I heard one speaking to me from the house, while a man was standing beside me. And he said to me, 'Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell among the sons of Israel forever.'" The place of the throne, the place where God lives by his Spirit now is within you and I. His throne room, and also the place under his feet. Let me just see if I can. The temples of the living God, the glory of God, looking at his throne and his feet within our lives. So all the muck and the rubbish, all the stuff is under his feet within your life and within my life. This is what it means for Jesus to be Lord, when he comes and makes his home in us. Let's look at the next one. His authority and power is in our lives. Let's just turn over to chapter 44 and verse 5. And you'll find it says these words, "The Lord said to me, 'Son of man, mark well, see with your eyes and hear with your ears all that I say to you concerning all the statutes of the house of the Lord and concerning all of its laws. And mark well the entrance of the house with all its exits of the sanctuary.'" He's told, Ezekiel, he said, "Look, Ezekiel, and listen closely. Watch the entrances and watch the exits." In other words, what it's saying is here is that this, the presence of God, the glory of God came in through that east gate. And then it was, you'll find in these few chapters, we haven't got time to go through it, but there were a bolt on the door to lock it, to lock that door. So in other words, when Christ comes into our life, it's not to let anything in. Not to let anything else in apart from him. The entrances and the exits. In other words, be careful what we watch. Be careful who we listen to. Be careful what you and I allow into this temple where God lives. And to always keep that back door shut regarding the past. Don't let anything of the past kind of creep its way in, because if we put a bolt on that door, then it's not allowed. So all our history, all the stuff, all the rubbish that sometimes the enemy will try and throw, put a bolt on it, block it, watch the entrances and watch the exits. Watch what we allow within our lives. Okay, let's look at the next one. Let's read Ezekiel 47. We'll just read the first 13 verses. There's such a lot. Well, sorry, 12 verses. Verse 1. Then he brought me back to the door of the house. And behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east. For the house faced east, and the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. He brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate by the way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, which is roughly about 500 yards, by the way. And he led me through the water, water reaching the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and he led me through the water, water reaching the loins. Again, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not cross over, for the water had risen. Enough water to swim in, a river that I couldn't cross. And he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" And then he brought me back to the bank of the river. Now, when I'd returned, behold, on the bank of the river, there were very many trees on one side and on the other. And then he said to me, "These waters go out toward the eastern region and go down into the Arabah. And then they go toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea become fresh. And it will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live. And there will be very many fish, for these waters go there, and the others become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. And it will come about that fishermen will stand beside it from Engedi to Eneglaim. There will be a place for the spreading of nets. Their fish will be according to their kinds, like the fish of the great sea, very many. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. By the river on the bank, on one side or on the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing." I want you to notice that in that last verse, the water flows from the sanctuary. So them two important things as we just move on, just for maybe 10, 15 minutes. This river was fresh. Jesus says, no, we don't. No, we don't say this. I'm just going to change this. He doesn't say, "You have the salt of the earth," or "You have the light of the world." He says, "You are salt, and you and I are lights of this world." And it's to really, really stay fresh. This is what it's talking about. The river of God is talking about the Spirit of God in us. There's nothing worse for me if I go into Tesco and I pick up a loaf of bread and look at it and the date's just about going out. I love the smell of fresh bread. I love the smell of fresh coffee. I love the smell of grass that's just been cut. And the other thing is, when I go to Tesco and I want a salad, it's awful, isn't it, when you think, well, there's only a day left. It's not right fresh, really. There's nothing worse. Freshness, this is what it's talking about here in Ezekiel. The importance of remaining fresh in God. Can you remember the comforters of Job? These comforters who come to comfort Job, they come to him 3 times. And all they do is they come with the same argument every time. They're trying to get him to agree with them that they're right. Why did they come with the same argument? Why did they come 3 times? I'll tell you why. Because their lives are dry. They're not fresh. They come with the same thing every time. And you and I know that when we've been in that dry place, we're really hungering for God to come and kind of refresh us. Not to come up with the same stuff, the same arguments, the same kind of dry lives. And this fresh living water brought life into dead water. Just listen to this. This is great. The Dead Sea is really dead. The Jordan flows into it, but it has no outlet. So its deepest point of the Rift Valley is 1,400 feet below sea level. So in other words, this would be the most difficult place to actually bring life. and hear this river of life that is coming from the sanctuary because the temple is filled with the glory of God. It comes down and it brings life to whatever it touches. And years ago, it was known that fishermen could go out in their boats or coming back from a fishing trip or whatever they were doing, they could come back and even a few miles out into the sea, they could drop their buckets and lift up fresh water. Wow. Absolutely life transforming. Wherever that river was, it would flow life. Let's look at the next one. This river, it brought life. Listen to John chapter 10. And verse 10, it says, "The thief comes to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it in abundance." Ephesians 2, verse 10, "You who were once dead, but now through Christ have been made alive." And when Christ has touched our life, he has brought life to us, life that we've never had before. But I want us just to keep in mind this, the river of God. John chapter 7. Here's Jesus and he cries out with a loud voice. "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, because out of him will flow rivers of living water." You and I are alive in Christ. We've got Christ living within us by his Spirit. There's a real awakening within us. And Paul is actually praying for the church at Ephesus. And he's praying for them to be enlightened, for God to reveal more of this kind of river, this life within them. This river brought fruit, John chapter 15 and verse 16. I love this. This is what it says. "You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you would go and bear fruit, that your fruit would remain." The difference between fruit and flowers is, if you ever want cheap flowers, by the way, go to Tesco about 8:30 at night, because they're all on offer, about 30p, 50p. They don't last too long. But the difference between fruit and flowers is, flowers look good. Don't these look magnificent? Thank you. But some of these are artificial. I don't know if you knew that. Some of them are real. Some of them are artificial. They're fantastic. They brighten up the whole room. But you can't eat them. Well, you could if they were daffodils, but you know what I mean. You can't eat them. But fruit, you can. Fruit is different. And in this reading, it talks about these trees that were bearing fruit. Fruit is, when it grows, it's lush, it's full of vitamins, it's full of life, it nourishes us. So there's a massive difference here. These trees bore fruit, not flowers. Flowers are good to look at, but they don't sustain us. And so our fruit is always for other people. And the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to go through them just to test you. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit is love. I'm impressed. All that fruit, it's not kind of different fruit, it's just one fruit. But all those express Jesus. That's who he is. And all them kind of things within our life expresses Jesus. Every one of them. And you and I are kind of growing in all this, expressing the life of Jesus. The interesting thing is this river got deeper as it went along. The more that it trickled, it just trickled. That's what it started as. And then every 500 yards, it just got deeper. It got ankle and then knee and then waist. And then there were enough depth to swim in. But it says as it flowed, it kind of got deeper. Where did it come from? Where did it come from? Look at verse 12 of chapter 47. "It came because of the water from the sanctuary began to flow." What was happening in the sanctuary? We looked at that in Ezekiel 43. "Because the Lord was on his throne, ruling and reigning." Wow, let me just pause there. So this river started with a trickle. Now, I don't know where you are in your walk with God. Maybe you've been kind of at ankle depth for a long, long time, and you're quite okay, but God wants you to kind of go into the deep end and learn to swim. You've met my mum. She left on Saturday. It's really funny watching her in a swimming pool. Her head never goes under the water. Her hair has never been wet in her life when she's gone to the pool. Honest, I'm not joking. I can see these two laughing. Is that same with you as well? Is it? Do you sort of do a breaststroke like that when you're way above the water? Ankle deep. And then as we're growing, we kind of go to knee deep. Then we go to sort of waist deep. And then there's enough room to swim in. If you love swimming, when you get into the deep end, there's just nothing better. And I remember as a kid, just as an example really, I was petrified really of water. And I was okay kind of as a kid, you know, in the shallow end. And then my teacher decided to get us into the deep end. And a lot of us won't go. So he got us on the top table and just give us a gentle push. And we dropped into 10 feet where you have to swim. You ain't got a choice really. But getting into that kind of place, it's different from being in the shallow. I don't know if you're like my mum, but my mum likes to feel the floor. She wants to feel where it's kind of a bit solid. But when you get into the depth of a river or into a pool, it just feels very, very different. It kind of holds your weight, if you like, especially when you're in the deep end. But this is what really hit me as I've been looking at this. And I've been looking at the blockages. I've been looking at the flow of God in my life and in the life of the church. We read about the glory of God. It's something that we don't often look at. But this water trickled from the sanctuary and it began to flow, and it flowed from ankle deep into being really deep, and it continued to flow. And wherever it went, it brought life. Wow. You can see over the years how church has touched and transformed communities and nations and people and kings and rulers. This is the river of God. But as we read in Ezekiel chapter 43, the reason why all this was happening is because God was in the temple and his glory filled the temple. And all of a sudden we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and it says things like, "Don't you know now that your body is my temple? I live in you." And I'm looking at the glory of God. And you'll find this in John chapter 15 and 16. That Jesus said, "Father, I have shared your glory with my own." And I've been kind of looking at my life. I've been looking at some of the revivals and some of the things that happened where when people were so honest with God. You know, when we read back in Ezekiel 43... where God says that this is the place of my throne. And he also talked about what's under the soles of his feet. And sometimes within our lives, there's battles. There's battles with the enemy. There's battles with the flesh. We've got battles with all kinds of stuff. And so Jesus being Lord, he puts everything under his feet within our life. And that's a beautiful place to be. Because it's then we know the fullness of his peace. We know the fullness of his joy. It's just a beautiful place to be. We can rest in God in the most difficult situation. And he's talking about the lordship within our lives. Let's look at the next one. Just temples of the living God. Listen to John chapter 4 and verse 14, just as I bring things to a close. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him." When it talks about him, it's talking about him and her. So just listen to this. "Become in him." The water that I will give will become in him or her a well of water. And this is what he talked about to the woman of Samaria, springing up into eternal life. So just remember this phrase, becoming him a well of water. Then we read John chapter 7. If anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. For they that believe on me, as the scripture says, from within them shall flow now rivers of living water. So do you get the picture? From a water pot to a well to a river, a flowing river. So wherever we are, when God is partnering with us and we're partnering with him, you and I become rivers. We can bring life into everything. But sometimes that's just a mindset because we don't often think like that. I remember a guy years ago, he kind of got this. He really got what God was trying to kind of bring home into his life. And he said, I realized that wherever I went, that God were with me. If I went into a room where it were dead and it were, you know, not much life, and I kind of walked in and I thought, I represent God. I'm his ambassador. Have you ever heard of that song, This Little Light of Mine? Can we sing it? Okay, I'm not going to start it, but if we can sing it, that would be great. All right, I'll start it then. Okay. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Okay, just hold it. Over the past few months, I've been looking at things and thinking, is this really right to sing? Not this song, but other songs. Little light. A little light. Put your hand up if you believe you've got a little light or you think you've got a big light. It's really interesting to think about stuff, isn't it? Because if I've just got a little light, then I'm not going to go into a room or a place or the gym or wherever we go and thinking, my, I've only got a little light. Jesus says, we are lights. We are salt. We can go anywhere. We can go to work and we can really transform our environment because of the way that we are and the way that God lives within us. So tonight, if you've come with a bucket, praise God, your bucket will be full. Maybe you've come and thinking, do you know, from this meeting, I want to take away a well. And you might go out of this meeting thinking, do you know something? I am in that river and I am swimming in the deep end. It's beautiful, isn't it, really? I think the problem is sometimes, if you're like me, I kind of try and live the Christian life. It's usually me trying to live it instead of him. Just his life flowing through, starting off conversations, saying the right thing, praying the right thing. And I love this here. From within them shall flow rivers of living water. The gift of God is the Holy Spirit. Who was the Holy Spirit given to? Those who believed. When was the Holy Spirit given? When Jesus was glorified. Beautiful. Because I live, you shall live also. You and I are very good at quoting scripture. And if you look at Romans chapter 5 up to chapter 8, there are things that you and I can identify with regarding the Apostle Paul, because this is his testimony. This is his story. This is his journey. So you're looking at chapter 5 and chapter 6. It's all to do with sin and it's all to do with the law, etc., etc. And Paul kind of cries out and he says, oh, who's going to deliver me from this body of decay, because I kind of am always doing the wrong thing. And we can all identify with that. Then we come to Romans chapter 7, which again is really interesting because it's a carnal chapter. He's talking about his struggle to live the spiritual life. He was too carnal. So the word I is used 25 times. And the Holy Spirit is only mentioned once. Then in chapter 8, and we know chapter 8, all things work together for good, etc., etc. The Holy Spirit is mentioned 16 times, and he himself is only two. this river of life, the river of God. Without water, not a lot grows. John chapter 15, if you'll just turn to that, just as we bring things to a close. John chapter 15. Do you know something? I can't wait to look at these chapters because it's electric. Verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. Verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So the Holy Spirit lives in you and me as you and I are the temples of God. This water of life through the Spirit is flowing. But looking back as we draw things to a close, why were it flowing? It only flowed when God was filling the temple. And this water of life will flow from you and I as he takes his rightful place within our life, and everything, all the junk, is put under his feet, and he rules and he reigns within our life. And that's talking about the glory of God filling our life for this river to flow. I've been so encouraged, so blessed, and kind of reminded of the life of God in you and I. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Just before we sing, Behold the Lamb, as we move into communion, let's just pray. Let's pray together. Lord, sometimes it's really difficult in our understanding to get a real grip of you living in me. Because we know years ago how people had to approach you through blood and through sacrifice and through going through a process and into the holy place and then entering into the most holy place, even through that once a year. But because of Jesus, because of that new and that living way that he has made for us, we've got access, Father, right into your very presence. And now you, the living God, you don't just live in a box called the Ark of the Covenant, but you live in me. You live in us. And you want to fill us with your glory so your river by your Spirit will flow out to a very needy world, needy neighbors and needy work people and all the people around us, Lord. Lord, we long to be free by your Spirit. So we're asking tonight that you would just help us to so die to ourselves that we might live in you. And thinking about death, Lord, we've just come to communion just now. We pray again that you would open the eyes of our heart and our understanding to see and to get a glimpse of you, the Son of God, the Lord of life, the Lord of glory, actually becoming death, becoming sin. Lord, just as bring us to yourself. Thank you for the price that you paid. I just can't get over that, Lord. An incredible price. And what you allowed to become, and what you allowed men to do to you, so that you would bring us to God, and that you would come and live and share life within us. So, Father, as we enter into communion, Lord, we pray, help us to worship you, to meet with you. We ask this in your name, Lord. Amen.